Good morning. Sorry for all the confusion. Our complaint has been duly lodged with our CCB president. thank you everybody for being so flexible and dealing with the switch. I really don't like when that kind of thing happens. yeah, it changes. I would like to introduce our speakers this morning. We have Mike Marlin, who is the director of the Braille and Talking Book Library in Sacramento, and one of our CCCLV members who thought she was retiring, and surprise, she's back at the library, Valerie Reese Lerman. Hey, yeah, everybody knows Valerie. And she has quite a reputation as being a very good reader advisor there. So without further ado, since we are running a little late, we'll let Mike and Valerie get started. And when they finish, we have Rob Turner here from Bookshare. I need to explain. We tried to get what we were planning to do is try to get the projection screen and go live on the internet so they could show you the details. But that all didn't gel. So they are prepared to punt, and you ask all the questions that you need to ask. Okay? Okay. It would be best if Valerie, if you went down the aisle, and we'll let people know when you're going to do that, and they can raise their hand if they want material. Okay, very good, Mike. Thank you. Okay, Valerie.
All righty. Thank you, everybody. First, let me just say that
it was on when I knew
okay. First, let me say what a pleasure it's been serving you all these years. It has been an honor to be of service to the blind and visually impaired community. Being legally blind myself and a user of the service, I'm intimately aware of visual concerns and challenges that sometimes arise. What follows is an overview of measures BTBL takes and measures, and measures you can take to improve your use of the Braille and Talking Book Library service.
Valerie, very methodical and organized, has put together a nice outline. Mike here, that's me, is so busy that I'm going to sort of wing it, although I've done this many times before. So you'll get both styles today. But let me just say, this is Mike Marlin. I'm the director of the Braille and Talking Book Library, and I have been for the last 5.5 years. So when it comes to state service, Valerie knows everything, and I only know a little bit. So, but seriously, I do, and I have Vivaldi here with me, who's my new pooch. Yeah, he's very musical. He's working on a new symphony called The Four Croutons. He's down on the floor here. He's not interested in this. But let's just say what a pleasure it is to be here. I know some of you, and I look forward to getting to know all of you. If you are not a member of the library, I hope you will become one. I presume most people in the room are. I'm legally blind myself. I have retinitis pigmentosa, and I'm now completely print disabled. But for many years there, I was the in-between in-between category of using magnifiers and all that good stuff. So although I don't do any magnification anymore because it doesn't help me, I am also very familiar with some of the challenges and rewards for being a low-vision person, particularly when it comes to information and using a library. So without further ado, I'm going to hand the mic back to Valerie. Oh. As far as what we have, we brought a bunch of material. Bernice asked us to bring copies. It's probably more than you ever wanted, but we have our large print brochure, We have our latest large print newsletter and one Braille copy in case anyone's interested. We have, what else do we have, Valerie? You want to? We have applications for the library service. Oh, we have our newly revised borrower's handbook, several copies of that. And then we also have the latest issue of Talking Book Topics, March, April, 2013, from the library. In case anyone hasn't received that through the mail, because that comes directly from contractors for NLS, not directly from us, but we all have them on hand. And then I also have we have one digital machine and three or four digital books, in case anyone wants to look at words. We weren't going to focus so much on the digital talking book machine, but we can spend a few minutes on it if you all would like. And then I brought some examples of catalogs, such as the annual Digital Talking Books Plus catalog, Young Readers catalog, Spanish catalog, which is a few years outdated. What else do I have here? Digital Talking Books Plus. I think we also brought copies of our Descriptive Video Service catalog. We have copies of that as well. I don't know how many we brought, and we just added a whole bunch of new titles. But anyhow, without further ado, I'm going to hand the mic back to Valerie, and then here she goes.
Thank you so much, Mike. And let's all give Mike a round of applause for everything he does here for the library. Okay, so we were going to go into what the library does. So the library service itself has built-in features that can assist you. Large print talking book topics, that's the listing of our newest books that come out that comes out every 2 months. And we have catalogs, including our new descriptive video service, as Mike had mentioned. We have built-in instructions on the digital book machine, which is very, very helpful. It makes it very user-friendly. We also have applications and all correspondence in large print. We have large print labels on cassettes, digital cartridges, and book containers. And we have workstations in our public reading room with accessible software. We will once again have CCTVs when we gain full access to our reading room, hopefully sometime later this year. Mike, did you have anything further to say on that?
And I'm sorry, we're kind of going a little bit fast since we started late. So I don't know if everyone's aware, knows... should I give just a quick background on who we are and sort of what our purview is and our service area? Would that be helpful? Okay. So we're one of the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. It's not really PC to say handicapped anymore, but it takes an act of Congress to change the name of an agency, and that's why NLS has not focused on that as their priority. Someday it may change to print disabilities or something. Anyhow, so the California State Library started its Books for the Blind program in 1904 out of the state capitol. And then when the library courts building one, well, at the time it was just library and courts, was established and opened in 1928, we moved into the basement there. We were out on Broadway. I'm sorry? This is all before NLS. The movement to establish a national service for blind readers started up in the 20s. The Braille Institute of America was founded in Los Angeles in 1920. And Braille Institute staff were instrumental in the founding of the National Library Service, making very persuasive arguments in D.C. to legislators that culminated in the Pratt-Smoot Act of 1931, which Herbert Hoover signed. And if he doesn't get much press, Mr. Hoover, but for a lot of reasons, but he did sign the National Library Service into being. So that's something, I think. Anyhow, so we and Braille Institute were part of 19 original libraries that were instrumental in the founding of NLS in 1931. We had been serving the entire state, albeit with Braille only, and then we partitioned the service so that we have two regional libraries in our state. And most states have one regional library. They may have a few sub-regional libraries, But New York, Pennsylvania, and California have two. So we serve Northern California, 48 counties, about 12,000 individuals, about 500 institutions. Brill Institute serves a lot more, maybe 32,000 people, 2,000 institutions. And it's a lot denser population. No. Right, they're big. So and Talking Book started in 1934, originally on 78 RPM, very thick books that were longer novels were contained a lot of these discs. And I feel sorry for all the postal carriers back then, especially when they had to truck things out to northern Idaho or something. But and over the years, the National Library Service started to included, juveniles and young adults were, the service was expanded to children age 5 to 18 in the 60s. I think that was in the 50s. In the 60s, the service opened up to people with what they call organic reading disabilities, such as dyslexia or any other cognitive impairment that. So that nowadays we just say people with print disabilities or people unable to read conventional print, whether it's physical, whether it's neurological, whether it's sensory. So that's sort of who we are in a nutshell.
Thank you, Mike. I just wanted to go over a couple personal items you can use to fully utilize your vision while accessing our service. I'm sure some of these you already are aware of, but it's just an overview. You can use a bold felt tip pen to write, and there is paper available at some of the service centers for the blind that has paper that has bold, dark lines. And when reading is a problem, you can use a handheld magnifier or a CCTV. Also, what I found useful with some of my customers is they use a handheld recording device to play back their talking book topic, book numbers, and notes in general on favorite authors or titles that they might want to read. And for computer use, it's very interesting. What has really changed my life is using the magnification programs such as Magic or Zoom Text. And to note, it is most beneficial to first try to get an overview of the page you're viewing.
So I'm sorry, I probably, we're taking a lot for granted here and probably shouldn't do that. But as Valerie is starting to go over how she and her customers who are low vision access our materials, it behooves me to say what materials we have. And we have, NLS is basically provides us with a recreational reading collection of fiction and nonfiction. They produce 2,000 titles per year in audio, 650 Braille titles per year, and it's basically like any public library. The collection development team has to ascertain what's popular, what subjects are and authors are coming out with new material, and they're very limited. 2,000 titles is less than 1% of what's published in the U.S. every year. So that's why we'll talk at the end about some other services, and you're going to hear from Rob about Bookshare. One nice thing to note is that the other network libraries, each network library has its own, not every single one, but most of them have a local recording program where they record books about their state or by their local authors. With us, it's California history, authors who live in California. Anything that might slip through the cracks or isn't being recorded by NLS, we will record, and up till recently and probably again, we have made Braille copies. Between all the network libraries, there's an additional 2,000 titles that come out every year. So we are working very hard in the network to try to get these available for all eligible patrons nationwide. And BARD is going to contain those local books. It's a slow process, but they will be available for download. And one of the things to note about being in the digital era now, wherein we still have some cassette books. Those are still available. We have the digital cartridges, which many of you are familiar with. And we have a download service, which if you're not a computer savvy person, you can become one. or you may have friends or relatives who can assist you and download books. And we also have the capability to download books to fill in series and or other titles that are available for download only. We have filled in the gap and continue to do that in the library with blank cartridges we've purchased from NLS. And those are also available to you to purchase through a couple different vendors. And we're also able to get anything that's on BARD as an interlibrary loan from NLS sent out to you. So that really opens things up to about 35,000 titles. So what Valerie's starting to talk about, and I'll get back to her in just a second, is how you order those books. You can speak to, we have readers advisors. We have five readers advisors. Okay. Actually 4.5. Valerie technically is 0.5, but I think of her as more than that. She's, because of her experience, she is quite amazing. And so you can speak to an amazing reader advisor such as Valerie or any of the four other folks. But you can also, if you receive Talking Book Topics, which is the bi-monthly magazine that comes out in large print in Braille and now on cartridge, and we'll talk about magazines on cartridge in a minute, then you can either call or email or snail mail or fax in your book requests. Or you can utilize the order form, which is, I think, what Valerie was referring to, that comes with TBT, and send us in an order that way. Or if that's difficult for you, you can use what Val's talking about, which is dark-lined paper. I've also seen paper that you can order that has ridges in it for each line, and I used to use that way back when. That can be real handy. And then plus all the different handheld magnifiers, large overhead light magnifiers, CCTVs, etc. As far as the utilizing online resources, which is something we can, why don't we wait and we'll talk about that in a minute. Let me hand it back to Valerie.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, as I was saying, also, you know, you might want to consider on your computer, if you are on a computer, you can use Word, and that will magnify your print as large as you might wish to have it, and also bold the print to make it easier to see. And then thirdly, I'd like to say there are ways you can use your BTBL service when you have low vision to make your service run as smoothly as possible. If you have extremely low vision, try to read only one book at a time to make sure the right book gets in the right container. That may seem obvious, but you'd be surprised how many times that is an issue. Secondly, keep your books in order that you receive them, so you can get them back in a timely manner. Also, no matter how tempting, don't lend your books out, as this will slow down the flow of books back to you if they are not returned in a timely manner. It's also against the rules, according to Mike. Right, in case you were interested. Never be shy about contacting your reader advisor whenever there is a request you'd like to make or a service concern that you may have. Be proactive about notifying us of any changes of name, address, or phone number. Keep in mind we can hold your account if you're going to be away for a while, and we could even send your books to a vacation address if needed. You can also use online resources at our website, which I'm sure Mike is going to talk about in a little bit here, at our website, btbl.ca.gov. You can search our catalog. You can download books using BARD. We will also soon have, for your convenience, bibliographies in various interest areas to peruse. So let me pass it over to Mike again for some more information in these areas.
Great. And do you want to start passing things out to people who might be interested? I also have business cards here that have our general phone number, toll-free number. And they have large print and Braille stickers on them, so that both methodologies. And then, as I said, we have these other resources. I don't know. I know when I go to conventions, I Try not to take too many paper materials because then I end up with a hernia. But it's all up to you. Like I say, we have the descriptive video catalogs. You might be interested in those, talking book topics. So National Library Service is very committed to large print materials. A lot of the marketing materials that we have, and I unfortunately didn't bring them with us, but are available in large print. Now, the legal requirement for large print is 14-point font. And I don't know about you folks, but Valerie and others have commented to me that 14-point font is pretty small. So we try to put everything in at least 16 on all of our materials, and occasionally, if it's not too long, we'll use 18-point font. I believe the DVS catalog is in 16-point font. And we most other materials that we have that are available upon request. So I just want to emphasize that if you come across or hear about any of our reports or surveys or anything to that effect, we will make it available in large print or Braille to whoever needs it. Audio, we're getting there. As you know, we have a large print newsletter that we send out to folks. And if you are not getting that and would like to receive it, just need to contact us and let us know. If you are okay with a different format, such as email, that's always great for us. We save money on printing costs. But that said, we still want to provide you your format of choice. So let us know. We will have, as I mentioned, anything else is available upon request. And we will have some bibliographies that we're putting up on our website soon that are subject bibliographies, such as, made example, last year we had the Olympics or something. We would put up books about the Olympics. Or more recently, Valentine's Day, we put up books concerning falling in love or something like that. There's a myriad of possibilities. One of the problems that we face, and I didn't want to dwell on this, is that because of the state fiscal situation, BTBL staff is pared down to its absolute core right now. We had 24 positions when I came on board. We are down to 16 now. So we've lost a third of our staff. Regardless, we still have the most amazing staff in the world, I think, and they work really hard every day to make sure that books get done, that books get cataloged appropriately, et cetera, et cetera. Let me talk about our web resources real quick, and then Bernice, would you like me to answer questions after that? And if you have a topic that I haven't covered, just shout it out, and I'll gladly do so. Right. Oh, okay. Great. We'll do. All right. Before I talk about our web resources, as I mentioned earlier, the National Library Service for the Blind was founded in 1931. It is a division of the Library of Congress, the People's Library. And I'm sorry? Right. It's part of the legislative branch of the United States, part of the U.S. Congress. The Congress provides a subsidy to the United States Postal Service so that books via the mail can go out. It's called the Free Matter for the Blind program. So any materials intended for blind or visually impaired or basically an NLS-eligible patron can go out through the mail for free. So that's why all of our correspondence, all of these catalogs, the books, the machines, the Braille books, that's all free matter for the blind. Every morning, our staff, we send about 3,000 items a day. Braille Institute, about 5,000 or 6,000 a day. So our staff is very busy in the morning from 6:30 until about 10 or 11 when the U.S. postal trucks show up. That's what we're doing. We're printing out cards. We're bursting cards. We're going down to the basement. We're pulling books. The afternoon, we're taking all those books that came back, we're reshelving them, or we're sending them through what we call turnaround, because popular books don't sit on the shelf very long. We order about 24 audio copies of each book, which we found is about the right number for romances and mysteries and other hot topics. They go out, and because people have requests in the queue, they're getting other books, and it just works out nicely. We used to order a lot more copies, and then we found that they sat around on the shelves. And it's not that there isn't enough demand, but the way our system works, just so everyone knows, thanks to the computer age, we have what's called an integrated library system that allows us to take your subject preferences, your author preferences, input them into the computer, and have the computer select books for you based on those preferences. It's not always 100%. People will get books that they don't like, and we'd say just send them back, wait for the next one. And some people prefer to have their selection completely automated. That does not mean that you can't make requests. If you hear some hot book comes out, like The Help, for example, when that movie got popular, we got inundated with requests for The Help, and we didn't have enough copies. Luckily, we were able to make more. Another nice thing about being in the digital era. But you can always make requests, and you can create request lists. And if you have a request list of 7, 50, 100, 200 items, then you may not need to have a particular book right away. So that's why we're able to manage with about 24 to 32 copies of the popular books. Come in, they go, it's called turnaround, like I mentioned, then they go back out. And we also have a new service, which we started a couple years ago, descriptive video service. Is everyone familiar with that? Okay, for those of you who aren't, these are movies. This started in the late 90s. Through WGBH in Boston, Massachusetts, the public TV station, started contracting with major motion picture studios to have what's called descriptive narration. So for any films or TV shows, a narrator will describe the action taking place in between the dialogue. I find these extraordinarily helpful. I wish that there were more titles available. My wife's always very happy. Oh, good, I don't have to sit here and pause it every 5 minutes and tell you what's happening. You're on your own. I'm going to go do something else. Yes, we have a collection of 230 descriptive DVDs, and then we have about 50. We started to, many of the other libraries had VHS or video cassette collections. They started discarding them. Because they weren't being used. We grabbed a whole bunch of them. We cataloged them. We put them up for circulation. Nobody wants them. And I have several boxes of videos that I haven't even cataloged. So I think that we're far enough into the digital era where if you're like me, you have all your VHSs boxed up somewhere in your house and you don't watch them anymore. So Valerie has been passing around, hopefully, our descriptive video catalog. Yes, we have it available in Braille if you call us. Braille by request, because it only takes us a few minutes to emboss a copy. I meant to bring one because I have a fitting in back the library, and I forgot. We have all of our materials, again, are on our website. We actually have the catalog in as an MP3 audio file if you want to listen to our lovely narrator, Sandra, tell you about videos. You can do that, too. Otherwise, there's a Word version. There's a Adobe PDF version. There's a large print version. And as I mentioned, there's a Braille version. So this is an additional service in addition to all the books. The other thing that I think you all, if you haven't heard about it, we haven't had a chance to advertise it in our newsletter yet because it happened a lot faster than we anticipated. And that is the NLS Magazine service. And I don't know if any of you are subscribed to cassette magazines. Well, if you have been listening to them over the last few months, you've probably heard an announcement saying that magazines aren't cartridge are coming and that cassettes will cease. And the magazines on cartridge started about 2 weeks ago. People are just starting to get their magazines on cartridge. There's going to be an overlap for 2 months where you'll be getting both the cassette, which is disposable, and the cartridge, which is not. The cartridge needs to be returned. This is a circulating item, and it's because the flash memory cartridges are expensive, and NLS recycles them. So if you are signed up for magazines on cassette and you have a digital machine, you'll automatically start getting digital magazines on cartridge. If you're not, if you don't have a digital machine, let us know. We've initiated a campaign a few months ago to get a digital machine to every magazine subscriber. I think we're at like 98-99%. So if you're still one of those people who hasn't made the jump to digital, let us know. I know that sometimes the word digital can be intimidating, so sometimes we call it the new machine. And yeah.
Player on. Press any button to learn about the phone.
Thank you, Bernice. Yes. What's going to happen is, and we're, a couple things are happening. One, Talking Book Topics is considered a bi-monthly magazine. If you get magazines, you know that there are weeklies, there are bi-weeklies, there are monthlies, bi-monthlies, and quarterlies. The way that NLS is constructing this program is that you're going to get a cartridge every time a magazine comes out. However, if you get a monthly and a weekly and a bi-weekly, and they all come out roughly the same week, they're all going to go on the same cartridge, and they'll send that out to you. And there will be an explanatory note in the beginning of the magazine when you press play. It's going to tell you you must return this. And then it's going to tell you about the bookshelf feature. And let's see, do I have a multiple item here, unfortunately. No, I can't. Sorry. I thought I could get the bookshelf feature to work. Oh, yeah. Well, if you have a Victor Stream, then you can download magazines, and they've been available since the beginning of Bard. Yeah, well, we'll talk about downloading in just a minute. Okay. Well, that's a great segue into our online services. So the Bard service, the Braille and Audio Reading Download, was started several years ago. The B in Bard was just adopted. It used to be more what I like to call drab. And sorry. Now the B is in Bard, so Braille is there. There's electronic Braille. Braille files can be downloaded. Let all your Braille reading friends know. The magazines that are produced by NLS, not by other... Let me go back a bit. The magazine service that's been going on for a while includes book magazines that are produced by, nationally with contractors for NLS, but it's also included magazines that were produced by other network libraries. And that's why you had that long list of about 90 or 100 magazines to choose from. Nowadays, I think that that's still going to happen. I need to verify that. But the magazines that are listed on Bard right now are only the nationally produced magazines. So there's about 45 or 50 of them. Since this service was initiated, people have been able to go online, apply online. It's a fairly simple application form, I hope. At least it is for screen reader users. We have been talking to NLS about some of the problems that people with low vision who use magnification or don't use any at all have encountered with Bard and, of course, with computers and web sites in general. I know that it's a constant reminder to people who program these kind of sites to leave a lot of space between lines, and that doesn't always happen. And it's something that we're constantly reminding NLS about. I know, Valerie, you are a pretty experienced Zoom text user. So here, let me let Valerie talk about Bard for just a second.
Thank you so much, Mike. Yeah, I made some notes here in perusing Bard here recently. And the first thing I noted is that what you might want to do is see if you can program your Zoom text or Magic to go to the first login box, because otherwise you have to scroll down through quite a bit. It can be a little bit visually confusing. And once you get in, as far as searching is concerned, The first two categories that come up may be the most interesting, as in recently added magazines and books and most popular downloaded books in the last 90 days. And then you will find several searching choices that follow. Search the collection using a search term, author where the first letter of the author's last name is entered, title and subject entering first letter of the search term. I encountered a problem when searching the collection under the term romance, where the first book that came up was in a foreign language. So I had a question about whether we could take out foreign language books as a search category. So I went on further, and what I found out is that when you're searching an alphabetical search by the first name of the author, it can be very cumbersome. So if you follow the site a little further down and you go past what you want to do is go down the screen past magazines and music to the NLS catalog. You can click here to get your search terms in multiple forms so that you can search by author, title, subject, keyword, and it's a lot more user-friendly. So once you log in, go down your first page and go to the NLS catalog, double-click for your quick search function. And then I have some notes on downloading, just some general books on downloading. Once you find a book you'd like to read, click on the highlighted area to download the book, and a box will come up at the bottom of the screen with options. You don't want to click open, you want to click save, but scroll down to save as.
Newer versions, anything Internet Explorer 8 or 9 or Mozilla Firefox 8, the dialog box for saving items does not pop up on the screen. You actually have to go to the navigation menu, which is a fairly simple keystroke of Alt plus N for navigation, and then you'll get your dialog screen. And the other thing, and maybe Valerie will talk about this in a minute, is once you've done your download, finding your books. And we can try to help you as much as possible over the phone with knowing how to locate a directory and putting it in a directory. When you do your downloads, if you always save them to the same directory, which you can maybe create one that says Bard or Bard Books or something like that, then they're always in the same place. But I know if you let the computer do it for you, depending on what operating system you're using, it may go to a different directory. And then that's where we've had people just about explode with frustration, but they can't find their books. We can help with that.
Yeah, you just click on the download, and then...
yes and no. Yes, there is a link for downloading books. However, with the most recent Bard upgrade, a new feature was added called the wish list. And this is actually really neat. So that now when a book pops up, you're going to have two links to it. The first link is going to be just to go to a more embellished description of the book. And then right under, then there's going to be the title and the author and the time for the book. And then there's going to be the download link where it will say download. If you already know that you want to get the book right this second, go ahead and click or enter on download, and you go into your download sequence. However, if you go to the first link, which gives you information about the book, it also gives you an opportunity to add to my wish list. You can create a wish list, and that way, if you didn't want to download, you saw 10 titles that you had to you really wanted, but you know you can't. It takes time to download 10 books. Put them on your wish list and then come back when you're looking for something to read, and then you don't have to go do the search all over again. You have your wish list right there. The other new feature with the new Bard upgrade is that you can look at your download history. So you can look at all the books you've downloaded, and that might help you filling in a series gap or something like that. Here you go, Valerie.
Thank you so much. I don't know if you guys want just an overview of how you download. But basically, what happens next is a box will come up where you want to save your download on the computer to your downloads. And then at that point, you want to right-click on that file and go to extract to folder. Once the files are extracted or unzipped, depending on the computer, or archived if you're using Mac, then what you want to do is just copy and paste that folder onto either your flash drive or your cartridge that you're using. At that point, once you can safely remove the device from your computer, you want to put it into your machine. So to play it on the player, there is a plug-in for the flash drive on the side of the digital book machine. You can insert the cartridge as you would insert any cartridge into the book player. Let's see.
And of course, for people, if you're using the Victor Stream, which is made by Humanware, which is only one of 15 or 16 different portable devices, but it is fairly prevalent. A lot of people have them. The Veterans Administration has given them out to people. Voc Rehab has as well. So a lot of people have them. And there's a handy piece of software that comes with Humanware Stream Companion, where you can just check a checkbox on all the books you want to transfer to your flash memory cartridge or thumb drive, and then just transfer the books. You don't even have to unzip them. It's a little bit easier than unzipping a book, but not unzipping isn't that difficult, really. It just takes a little bit of practice. Oh, okay. So the whole topic of downloading is complex. It's not as simple as receiving a book in the mail, obviously. However, you can download in your pajamas at 3 a.m. if you can't sleep. You can download the latest cooking magazine and research your recipes for the morning. Yes. Great question. We are going to be doing that right now. We will help. We will do a one-on-one. If you want to make an appointment with one of the reader's advisors or myself or the other librarian, we would be happy to sit with you and do that. As Valerie mentioned earlier, and I don't think she didn't go into detail, so just for everyone, this is edification. Library and Courts Building 1, the historic building, not the building that BTBL is situated in, has been going through a renovation process for the last 4 years. It was supposed to be completed a year ago, but that's how it goes with the state, right? Everyone, all of our staff moved into our building, and the collection from that building went out to West Sacramento, and including our Braille collection, which went out to West Sacramento to storage so that law reference books could be put into our reading room. And we've been sharing our reading room with the law, government publications, and information services sections. This has been it's been a challenging couple of years for us and for all of you and all of our patrons who are used to having their own Braille and Talking Book Library reading room where they can talk about blindness issues with each other, they can use our technology, they can get help with selecting books. It's been a real challenge. I have to be honest about it. That is going to be coming to an end, though, and we know that the Library and Courts Building 1 is opening in a couple weeks for the appellate courts, and then later this summer we'll start moving back in there. I really hope that we have our reading room back by the fall, and when we do, we're going to have a big shindig and have a big opening house, hopefully October, November, invite everybody. And I'm sorry, I'm digressing from the question. And we're planning to have classes. We're going to get more technology. We're going to have more computers. We're going to contract with some people to come in and help us teach other introductory computer classes. I can't tell you how quickly that's going to happen, but that's what we're planning to do. We really want to expand and make an inviting, nurturing, and technological place for our patrons to come to. So that's the plan. But for now, if you need help, just give us a call. We'll set something up one-on-one. Well, We internally we've joked about a repo van to get books back from the people who are overdue. But I don't think the state will ever go for that. No, I'm just kidding. That's one of the nice things about our service. So we don't charge fines for overdues. But we do need people to get books back on time. No bookmobiles in the works, sorry.
What's that?
Oh, especially the magazines. Oh, yeah, I neglected to mention, the way NLS is setting up magazines on cartridges, they're going to want you to have no more than 3 magazines out at one time. And then they'll consider it overdue, and they'll send us a notice, and they may cancel your service. We're trying to negotiate with NLS to expand the loan period a little bit. But they're really concerned because they don't want to lose cartridges. I'll keep you guys up to date on that.
Ah, yes.
Yes, asking about the iPhone. There are going to be apps for both iOS, including iPhone, iPod, and iPad. There is an alpha version that Judy Dixon from NLS recently demonstrated at the CSUN conference. And if you Google Judy Dixon, iOS, CSUN, probably any combination of those keywords, you'll get it. It's like a half-hour podcast where Judy sort of demonstrates what the app is going to look like. The plan is for NLS to roll that out for the consumer conventions in July. We hope that's going to happen. And then the Android app is also in development. It's probably several months behind the iOS app. And the app will allow you to download directly to your iPhone. You can do that. But as far as your wish list, that you're going to need to do on your computer, and then you'll be able to go to your wish list and download a book from there. If you want to use books on an iPhone, yes, you'll need to sign up for Bard. This is a Bard app. Right. Right. Okay. There is a piece of software called The Guide, which I know Mark Gibbons from Sterling Adaptives, and if you're curious about that, he's out in the vending hall. It simplifies the Bard process as well as email and other web search, so that you just go from one screen and you just hit download and it goes right to it. And okay, yeah, I think he demonstrated it for you guys a couple days ago, right? Okay, well, that was just one alternative. If you need help with Bard again, you want to try it again, we are more than happy to walk you through it, and or come into the library if you're here in Sacramento. Okay. Where do you live? Oh, okay. Well, if you can get to San Francisco Public Library.
Hey, could you ask anyone? Oh, real quick. Did anybody lose a cane holder? Is that what it's called?
Did anyone lose a cane holder?
Little Velcro on the back. It was in the other room that you just came from. It was on the ground. So I didn't know if it was any of yours. Okay. It'll be up at the front if you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. And I know we're probably running over. So the only thing I can say about Bard is it does take some patience and practice, especially if you're not an innate computer user. And I certainly am not. I mean, I'm 50 years old, so I learned a little bit later in life, not as late as some, not as early as some. So I think if you have the will, I'm AARP qualified now. That's right. Are there any other questions? Yeah. That's right. Yeah, you will be able to, when the app is ready for the iOS, which is the Mac, the Apple systems, then yes, iPod Touch, iPad, and iPhone, you'll all be able to utilize Bard. Also, if you have an Android phone or an Android device. I've not used Bookshare on my iPhone yet. I've downloaded the app, but I haven't gotten to it yet. So I know that the Bookshare website is pretty easy to use. But again, like any, I think for anyone with low vision using the web, the more, and this isn't even talking about graphics, but the more text there is, the more there is to wade through, especially if you're using magnification. And I welcome any suggestions from any of you to pass on to any vendors I run to, website programmers and or NLS, with how to make computer screens easier for people with low vision. It's a challenge. That's correct. That's true. The voiceover is there on the iOS systems. Oh, not voiceover? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah, we need to give Rob some time to talk about Booker. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Bernice. We'll be around. I'll be at the Guide Dogs lunch if any of you want to come by. I'll be around till the middle of the afternoon, so come find me. And all these materials are still up here, so if you haven't gotten something you want, come on up and grab it. Where are you? You want to do it from up here or from the audience? I've got the mic right here. Here you go.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Thank you. Okay, great. All right, so I think the focus is going to be, I don't know how many people, don't know how many people even know about Bookshare, so let me just spend a little bit of time talking. We started in 2002, and at that time it was basically mostly blind and visually impaired individuals scanning in books and making them available. And over time, things have changed. We now have an award from the Office of Special Education Programs that allows us to serve United States students free of charge for them. And so as a consequence of that, the service itself has really changed. When I first started, we had 10,000 members. Now we have over 255,000 members. We started off with about 10,000 books in the collection. Now we're up to about 185,000 books. We get a lot of our books from publishers. They submit the books to us electronically, and we convert them into what's called DAISY, Digital Access Information System, DAISY. So, and I know that obviously from listening to Mike and Valerie, there's a lot of difficulty for people using these services and downloading the books. So I want to tell you about a couple of things that we're trying to do that we've done that I hope will make things easier for anybody. Now, one of the things I have to say before I begin, as a totally blind person, and even for me especially, and for low vision, I really believe that if you're going to be using a computer, the first thing you have to do is you've got to figure out what tools you need to access the computer. If you're totally blind, you're going to need a screen reader. If you're low vision and your vision is marginal, you're going to have to learn how to use a screen reader, a screen magnifier. That's going to be Zoom Text or Magic or probably a bunch of them out there. I don't know all the answers to that. But that's something that you just have to do. And there are, like Mike said, the simplified interfaces like system access and this guide program. So what is Bookshare doing to try to simplify the download process? One of the things that we've done is we have a new option called Web Reader. Now, again, I know this is a bit of an issue for some. Unfortunately, it's going to require Internet Explorer 9 or 10 to use this really, to use this effectively. Also, you can use Firefox, or for people who want to use this web reader as a self-voicing app and have it highlight the words as they're spoken, then you can use, if you're using the Google Chrome browser. And I know sometimes people with low vision have a little more flexibility in some of the tools that they can use. But what this does is you don't download the book to your computer, you don't unzip, you don't do any of that stuff. Basically, you click on what's called, when you're looking at the book, at your list of books, whether you've done a search or whether you're browsing, and we can go into all that. But there's going to be a Read Now link. And basically, you choose that link, and you give it a little bit of time. And if the book, it takes a short while for the book to be prepared. And then once it's ready, you click, it'll click, go right over to Web Reader, and you can read the book right in your, with Web Reader, either using a screen reader, or you can use the self-voicing component if you've got Google Chrome. So that's a nice feature. This is for on computer usage. Okay, so that's one option. Now we have several other options. We do have our Read to Go app that does work on the iPhone. It's a self-voicing app. So for someone with low vision, you don't have to use any of the tools. You wouldn't have to use Zoom or anything. You could actually just go ahead and launch Read to Go. There are options to increase the font size. We have a menu called Visual Settings, and in that menu you're able to adjust the background color, the foreground color, the highlight color, whether or not you want the highlighted words to appear near the top of the screen, near the middle. You know, there's just a lot of flexibility in the way you can set this up. We also have our Android app called Go Read, and it also has similar features that allow the subscriber to adjust the display size and so forth. Now, obviously, the bigger screen you've got, you know, the less magnification you're probably going to need. So that's another way we're trying to simplify things. One thing that we've done also, just to make it easier for individuals to keep track of books that they're interested in reading, is we do have a bookshelf feature. And so you can define as many bookshelves as you want. If you want a bookshelf for your science fiction books, you can have that, or your romance books, whatever you want. And once those books are on the bookshelf, you can either download them, you can read them with Web Reader. You know, there's a lot of flexibility. Now, I don't want to add too much more confusion, but let me just talk about the formats that are available real quick. I did mention DAISY. Our Read to Go app at this point doesn't show pictures in the books. However, that will be changing as of the end of the month. We are going to have by default, when you download a book, it will actually automatically choose the book with images so that you'll automatically see the pictures. That's one thing we're working on. Another thing we do have is our book history page, and that's also keeps track of all your downloads. So you can go and see what books you've read and so forth. I do agree that the download process can be difficult, and that's why we're trying to find other ways to simplify the download process. So what can you find in Bookshare? Well, I'll tell you, I get a lot of people calling and saying, gee, I heard about a book on NPR, and, you know, I went to your Bookshare library, and I found the book. So that's one thing that we're really, I think, is one of the benefits of this service, is that we do tend to get a lot of the more recent books probably as quickly as any other library that I can think of. And that includes New York Times bestsellers. We have a grant that allows us to obtain at least the top five books, I think, in most of those bestseller categories. We're getting a lot of specialty publishers. And, of course, with Daisy, I just heard mention about bookmarks, and all of our tools do subscribe to set bookmarks so they can either return to certain portion of the book, or if, of course, these readers remember your last reading position as well. So see what time it is here. Okay, I got plenty of time, so I was kind of rushing because I wasn't sure if we're getting out at noon or what. But let's see. Talked about the book history, bookshelves, downloading our different apps. Let me open it. I think maybe the best thing would be to open it to questions. Now, before I do that, though, I also have materials here. I've got signature guides. I'd love to give those away. And signature guides are for people to help them sign in a certain spot. So I've got plenty of those. I've also got a brochure that explains how to sign up, and we're trying to simplify that process right now, too. The thing about Bookshare is you do have to have proof of disability, and you can, if you're an NLS patron, you can use that. They will verify your disability for us, along with Learning Ally. They do the same, and the Hadley School as well. So that makes it a little bit simpler. Otherwise, you do have to have a doctor's note, certifying that you're print disabled.
Some of these are sign up. I've got a big envelope here.
Okay.
Just see, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're getting some things passed out. So are there any questions? I think we're kind of nearing the end of the program. And okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's really a. Yes, we do have. That's right. Yes, we have. So we do get a lot of the recent books. And this really is a supplementary service to the National Library Service program. It's really a supplementary service. And sure.
You have two kinds of Daisy now.
Yeah. Our Daisy audiobooks, we have, among other formats, we've got our BRF format, and we've got our Daisy audio. Now, the Daisy audiobooks can be played on the NLS machine. Basically what you do is you would download and unzip the the Daisy Audio. Now, with Bookshare, it's a little bit confusing, but what you do is when you find a book that you want to download, there's a drop-down list box that tells you the different formats that the book is available in. At the very bottom of that box, there's an item that says preferences, set preferences. Go into set preferences, and one of the check boxes is going to say MP3 audio or Daisy audio, and you're going to choose Daisy audio. You want to set that preference first. From that point on, when you choose the audio component from this list box for the format, it's going to download it in Daisy audio. Once that's done, you unzip the book and just take the whole folder and copy it onto a blank NLS cartridge. And now the only disadvantage at this point, we're trying to fix this, is you probably only want to do one book share at a book at a time, because when you go into the bookshelf feature, our titles aren't announced properly yet. So like I say, you probably just want to start using, but the Daisy. Oh, it does. You can go switch from one, but the problem is when you're on the bookshelf, Mike, we don't, our titles don't announce the way that yours do, but yeah, and it's alphabetical too, usually the list. So no, not on the bookshelf, but so. Oh yes. So no, and what you'd have to do. So let's say I downloaded three books from Bookshare. One started with A, one started with M, and one started with Z. Well, I would know that the first one on the bookshelf is going to be the one that began with A. And so, but like I said, you want to just start with one book at a time. They're read by a voice called Kendra from Ivona. And it, believe me, it's amazing how clear this voice is and how easy it is to listen to. Actually, I hate to admit this, but one day at work, I downloaded a science fiction book as a Daisy audio book just to do some testing and so forth. Hell, I couldn't put the book down. I'm reading the talking book at work. God, they're paying me for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. And our Daisy audio, just real quick, it does also contain the full text of the book. So if you have a Victor Reed stream, for example, you can switch back and forth between the audio and the text component if you need to spell word or something like that, or do a search for a string. These players that have that feature will let you do that with our Daisy audio. So. No, it doesn't. They just appear, they would just be interspersed with the NLS books. It's just that our books wouldn't tell you what they are, but we're working on that. So, so those are the reading tools. Like I said, we're trying to simplify things as much as possible. And again, I think our collection is going to continue to expand. About every week or so, our content acquisition director, they got all these fancy titles now. She gets these connections with the publishers, and hopefully, if this WIPO treaty is eventually ratified, they'll get other books from other sources too. But yeah. So I hope I think we have a little more time if there's any other questions.
How about if you can download books to separate from the audio?
Yeah, that's a way to do it too. And like I said, you may just want to download one Bookshare book, put it on a thumb drive or a cartridge, and that way there's no confusion. So.
There's no doubt the NLS player is a good player.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's wonderful.
Steve Nakagawa and I at the Health Library are working on trying to figure out how to substitute for cassettes, And we're told that the NLS player, the cartridge player, has the thumb drive hole in it. You know, that's not right, the port, whatever. But we found that you have to have a name brand flash drive. You can't use a really cheapy one. And it should be less than 8 MBs?
8 gigabytes.
Because, and then you clean it off when you bring it up. It has its own hardware on it or software. We just deleted all that and then put some of the documents from the library to see if we could get it to read. And then it works. So it's a, and hardly anybody knows that that's on there because it's under a little tiny flap on the side of the machine. So I just took the flap off, so I lost it immediately. There's a flap that's hiding that on the side of the NLS book player, the cartridge book player.
Where
to find it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little cover. They're not going to put it back on the machine.
Well, I would like to thank Rob Turner for coming for Bookshare and giving us and